Title of my sermon is Your Inheritance. Are you expecting an inheritance? Will the family fortune come to you? For most of us, the answer is probably no. Our families are not wealthy, and we have no long-lost relatives with fortunes to leave. But would you believe me if I said that there is an inheritance waiting for you? One that surpasses anything you can imagine. You could receive a portion of your inheritance now, something in advance that will guarantee your acceptance into the family from whom you will inherit. So, whose family will you become part of? And who died that you might receive this inheritance? Well, someone had to die. Who would that be? Well, Jesus Christ was the one who died. He died so that we can be reconciled with God the Father, from whom we will receive our inheritance. God said, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters." 1 Corinthians 6:18. If you have received His Spirit, we are His children. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Romans 8:14. And because we are His children, we are heirs. Let's look at Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What an incredible revelation. We are children of God and therefore heirs to all the blessings of the spiritual realm. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. So what is our inheritance? As children and heirs of God, we will receive many things. We will be given a new name. Let's look at Revelation 2, verse 17. Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. It will be recorded in the book of life, and we will be known throughout heaven. Let's look at Revelation 3:5. Revelation 3, verse 5. He who overcomes, pardon me, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. We are to inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5. We will receive a crown. Let's turn over to Revelation 2, verse 10. Revelation 2:10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. It is an incorruptible crown of life. 1 Corinthians 9:25. A crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. A crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 2:8. A crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. A crown that we do not want any man to take from us. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Revelation 3:11. We will sit on a throne with Christ and the Father. Let's look at Revelation 3:21 now. Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. We will receive some authority. Let's look at Revelation 2:26 now. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. We will serve as priests on the earth. Revelation 5:10. Revelation 5, verse 10. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. We will be a royal priesthood that will glorify God. Let's turn back to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are heirs to the kingdom of God. Let's turn back to Matthew 25, verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And we'll be pillars in God's temple forever. Let's turn back to Revelation 3, verse 12 now. Revelation 3, verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Our inheritance has been prepared and is waiting for us. Let's look at John 14, verses 2 and 3. John 14, verses 2 through 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It is as if we are there already. Let's look at this very encouraging scripture in Ephesians 2, verses 5 through 7. Ephesians 2, 5 through 7. Pay close attention to these words. Beginning in verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine that? Often an inheritance has certain conditions that the recipient must fulfill before it can be received. All we have to do is fulfill the conditions of the incredible inheritance that God has prepared for us. Well, what are those conditions? Well, let's look at these. Number one, the first condition that God sets is belief. Although God sets conditions, he also provides the means to achieve them. Belief is one of the conditions. Those who believe will be rewarded with eternal life. As it says in John 3:15 and 16, we won't turn there. You're very familiar with the scripture. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in 1 John 5, verse 13, 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. The belief God requires is not superficial, nor is it something to hide or be ashamed of. It must be from the heart, and we are to make known our belief. Let's turn over to Romans 10, verses 9 through 11. Romans 10, 9 through 11. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. It is those who do believe Christ who are given power to become the sons and daughters of God. John 1:12, let's look at John 1:12. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. We not only have to believe that God exists and that Christ died so we could be saved, we also have to believe what God says. And when he says that he will give us the power to become his sons and daughters, therefore heirs of what he has promised, then we need to believe it. Belief is faith. Condition number two is repentance. Repentance. Repentance is another condition. We have all been subjected to the evil influence of Satan, and God does not want the inheritance to be used for evil purposes. Ridding our lives of evil can only be done through a process of conversion, beginning with repentance. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. Repentance not only means feeling sorry for the way we have lived, more importantly, it means making changes in our lives. In Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12:2. Let's turn over to Romans 12:2. "And you do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Not only changes to the way we act, but also in what motivates our actions and in the way we think. The sort of changes God wants to see can only be achieved by spiritual means. That's why He is so willing to give us the Holy Spirit. It is the means by which we can make those changes. The third condition is baptism. Those who believe what God says and begin the process of conversion are baptized in order to receive the Holy Spirit. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Acts 2:28. Baptism is a ceremonial commitment to God and His way of life. The Holy Spirit is the seal of approval that guarantees acceptance into God's family and to receive the full inheritance. Ephesians 1:13-14. Let's turn over there. Ephesians 1:13-14. Beginning in 13, "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory." Our acceptance into God's family is assured because the Spirit that He gave us can be likened to a spiritual DNA. It is the very essence and mind of God. It will reveal the things of God that we could not otherwise understand. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 through 12. 1 Corinthians 2:11-12. "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And the evidence of God's Spirit working in us will be seen by its fruits. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5:22 and 23. Having the spiritual DNA of God within us means we are no longer strangers, but part of His very family. Let's look at Ephesians 2:19. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Okay, condition number 4 is overcoming. Although our sins are forgiven at baptism, it does not mean we will never sin again. Being human, we will make mistakes. However, having made a commitment to God, we continue to repent of evil as it occurs in our lives until it is eventually conquered. If we confess our sins to God, He will forgive us. 1 John 1:9. Christ has overcome, and if we believe what Christ has said, we can also overcome the sins of this world through the help and power of His Spirit that is in us. You can find this in John 16:33, John 14:16, and 1 John 5:5. God says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my sons or daughters." Revelation 21:7. Okay, the 5th condition is endurance. Endurance. Having started the process of repentance, it is important that we continue in our commitment to overcoming, no matter how long it takes. Although the going might get tough and the trials may seem overwhelming, God has promised that we will not have to face anything we cannot handle. Let's look at the very familiar scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Keep in mind that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. And remember that Christ, our co-heir, also offered to help when He said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." John 14:14. That is anything that will help us achieve what God wants for us. If you are prepared to make the sort of commitment that is needed to meet the conditions for an inheritance that surpasses anything else you can possibly have in this life, then God is willing to give you a portion of that inheritance now to help you meet those conditions. Along with that inheritance comes membership into the very family of God. What an incredible opportunity. Your inheritance awaits you.